I'm going to try to finish up the thought that I had about Paul's apostleship tonight, and probably won't go too long, but we can fellowship for a few minutes for those that are maybe looking to finish up. But we're gonna look at this for a few minutes tonight of Paul's apostleship. So he starts off the book of Colossians, letting the church know who he was and how he was that. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so describing who he was and how he was. It was because of Jesus Christ, because of God, by the will of God. And I mentioned last week there's a lot of people that go through life and they don't ever know what God's will is for them. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that there's things that we should do as a child of God. I mean, we're supposed to attend church faithfully. Those are things we're supposed to pray for each other. We're supposed to tell others about Christ. I mean, we should never have a prayer request that says, "Hey, would you please pray about me going give out tracts?" No, I'm not going to pray about that. That's something you're supposed to be doing. I'll pray you get your heart right with the Lord. Amen. That's what I'll pray. Would you pray that if it's God's will for me to read my Bible? Now, that's something we're supposed to do, right? Well, Paul knew who he was in Christ, but he also had a special task from God, and that was to be this apostle of Jesus Christ. And there's people that go through their entire Christian life, and they never know what it is they're supposed to do. And sometimes it's to be faithful to a local church and support a pastor and do whatever they can to help out in that church. That's what God's called them to do. They know that's what God's called them to do. They're happy. God blesses them. And there'll be rewards in heaven for doing God's will. But there's some people that go and they just go through the motions, and church is not a priority. It's if there's nothing else better going on. And that's how they go through their Christian life. Never fully knowing this is what God wants me to do. And there's no greater peace, I would think, outside of knowing you're saved than knowing what God wants you to do and doing that thing. And so Paul was a man that knew exactly what he was supposed to do. And so we began to look at this last week. Paul had a divine commission. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostles formed the highest rank of ministers in the early church. The term apostle originally applied to the 12 that Jesus chose. Paul was not one of the original 12, nor did the disciples or Jesus while on earth choose Paul. It was a resurrected Savior that called Paul and chose him. Paul's apostleship was chosen by the will of God. And mentioned it last week also, and I won't get back on it again, but there's a lot of preachers today, a lot of so-called Bible teachers that are man-called. Somebody chose for them to do that, but God never did. And a lot of times it's very evident in their preaching and teaching. But God's the one that called Paul, chosen by the will of God. Paul owed his apostleship to an experience on the Damascus Road where he met the risen Christ. Paul's authority was directly from God, and his assignment was to open eyes. We read about that in Acts chapter 26. So let's pick up there this evening, and we're going to go over to, let me see where I want to go here. Let me get started here. Let's go to Colossians chapter number 1 and look at verse number 27 is where we're going to start off this evening and try to go through here looking at his apostleship. And so I understand that we're taking our time here in these first few verses, and things are really going to pick up, I believe, once we get through these first couple of verses. We're going to start going verse by verse through here. But it's important to know, and we know that the Bible is God's Word and those things, but when Paul's getting ready to talk to the church at Colossae, he wants it read in Laodicea also. He wants them to know what I'm about to tell you is not the words of men, it's the words of God. It's the words of Christ. This is by the will of God. And whenever somebody opens the Bible and begins to preach, as long as they're preaching this book, we need to accept it as the words of God and not the words of men. We read about that over in Thessalonians when Paul wrote to them. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul, his message is to magnify Christ and let them know who they are in Christ. Paul not only had a divine commission, But number two, and I'll try to get this thing working up here, Paul was a man with a message. He was a man with a message. And that's a good thing to have if you're going to be a preacher, is a message from the Lord. Amen. Paul was a man with a message. Paul never forgot who he was. And I was supposed to put a dash right here, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what he was. No matter what he did, no matter where he went, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's how he starts off his letters. He wanted people to know that's what God called him to do. And I know that the days we're living in are getting worse, and especially in some of these other countries, some of our missionaries even, it's difficult for them to openly declare who and what they are. I am a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a preacher. Paul said, I'm an apostle. And we find in the book of Acts where he was persecuted because of the message he preached. But we also find out where he was persecuted, he was beaten, thrown out of a city, and he gets right back up and goes right back in there and goes, I'm a preacher of Jesus Christ. This is what I am. Paul, as far as I can tell, everywhere he went, was not ashamed to say, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of these missionaries I mentioned, I'm not going to talk about their name online here, but as far as I know, they've never backed off of saying, I'm a preacher. I'm a Bible believer. I believe I'm a child of God. And that's something, he never forgot who he was and who had called him. And so he was apostle. He never forgot the source of his call. He never forgot the source of his call. And these are things that's evident throughout Paul's writings and throughout his life. But they're also things that I believe we could fall into a trap today of forgetting who we are in Christ, what we're supposed to be doing, and where our source comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from this book. And Paul never forgot. He was an apostle. He never forgot the source of his call. And he never forgot the heart of his message. Never forgot the heart of his message. This is another thing, too, that we find a lot of times today is churches that the theme of their church and the goal and the message of their church does not have anything to do with Jesus Christ being died, buried, and rose again. It has to do with government. It has to do with, for example, today, which, you know, we preach on these things and we mention them, but that's not the heart of our message. There's two dictionaries today, the Oxford Dictionary and the Merriam-Webster Dictionary redefined, I believe that it was, they redefined what a woman is. They changed the definition in the physical dictionary. Well, I know of some churches, man, that they look for that kind of stuff, and that'll be their message this Sunday. Now listen, we preach against those kind of things because it goes against the Word of God. But at the end of the day, we need to see souls saved. Now, we stand for truth, and we preach against those things, but that is not the heart of our message. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul never lost sight of that. I feel like times maybe we might lose sight of it, or churches in America lose sight of those things, but the heart of the message is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being high and lifted up. Paul's message was not a principle, but a person. It was not a principle, but a person. And I spelled it wrong. All right. This is a lot bigger in here than it is in the other room, isn't it? Might have to talk the kids into letting us switch with them. All right, Paul's message was not a principle, but a person. And I probably still spelled it wrong. I did. Yeah, okay, now I know why, because of that right there. That I made myself a note that I didn't have enough dashes, and I still messed myself up. I hate that Erica missed this. P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E. All right, so there we go. I tried to get fancy and put the dashes so people would know exactly what word went in there, and this is what I get for it. So, all right, Paul's message was not a principle but a person, and that's something that we should constantly be reminded of, especially Christmas is coming up on us, and I was talking to Brother Bonds today and Brother Bowen. There's churches that are canceling all services on Christmas Day. So, man, out of all the times of the year, to remember what this thing's about, it's on Sunday. Come together to worship the Lord. So, Paul lifted up the exalted title of Christ. The exalted title of Christ. And again, once we get through some of this, we'll pick up speed actually in Colossians, but trying to set some groundwork here for what Paul's trying to do. Paul's trying to magnify Christ all through the book of Colossians to this church. He wants it read in Laodicea. He wants them to know who Christ is and who they are in Christ. All right, a couple of the verses that read real quick. Colossians 1, 27 through 28. We've already read them, but I'll read them again. Colossians 1, 27 through 28. By the way, everybody do their homework for chapter 1? We still got a few weeks to get it done, but I was just checking. All right, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This was Paul's goal in the book of Colossians and in a lot of his writings, was to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So Paul, his message was not a principle. It wasn't a program. It was a person. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing for us to keep in mind as we go through here and also in our church. All right. Paul did not, see here. Paul did not separate Christ from the gospel. He did not separate Christ from the gospel. The reason why some of these things are important that we're thinking about here is because of some of the issues that Paul had to deal with in the church there in Colossae when those Jews were in that area, and some of the things he had to preach against and teach against. He did not separate Christ from the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Let me get back over there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. I'm not sure if I got the wrong verse written down or not, but he did not separate those two things, all right? Paul knew that Christ was the gospel. He is the good news. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection. So not another gospel being preached, but the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul seeks to bring the church here at Colossae back to the full acknowledgement of Christ and who he is. And in doing that, he was correcting some of the heresies that were being taught. And they had forgotten, and people today even forget, who Christ is and what he came to do and what the church's responsibility is back towards Christ, magnifying him. Paul had no struggle with the deity of Christ. It's another thing we noticed right here in the first verse, is he had no struggles with the deity of Christ. He didn't separate those two. Had no problem with it. Christ was the center of his message, and he was not timid or hesitant in exalting Jesus as Christ. And so these are things that Paul did. All right, number three. Not only did he have a divine commission, he was a man with a message, but we find out that Paul was a fellow laborer. A fellow laborer. He was not in this thing alone. He was a fellow laborer with the Lord. Timothy is mentioned right here in the very first verse. And he was Paul's son in the faith. We in 1 Timothy today, is that the reading or was that yesterday? I'm ahead. I think 1 Timothy's today, isn't it? Or is that tomorrow? I think it's today. Today, okay, so tomorrow. I'm ahead. I read it yesterday through all the way through 2 Timothy. But when you get into it tomorrow and you read 2 Timothy the day after, Paul's writing to Timothy, and there's a point where he said, hey, nobody is with me except for Luke. And you could tell that because all these people had went out. But then he turns right around and is thanking God for the people that went out because they're doing a work for God also. And it's encouraging to know that there's other people serving. There are still other people serving the Lord. We meet people. They come through here. We see them. And it's a blessing. It seems like it's far and few between. But there are other people serving the Lord. Look at Paul's address to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. So Paul had led Timothy to Christ. He was a father to Timothy spiritually. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. We find out in the book of Acts chapter 16, and I'm not going to go there, I need to finish up. But Paul won Timothy to Christ on his first missionary journey. His first missionary journey, a place called Lystra. All right, and that's found in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Through 3. Alright. Here's a big long word. Paul's responsibility. Paul's responsibility. We find out about this in this first verse also in the book of Colossians. His responsibility as an apostle. Paul felt his responsibility to the Christians at Colossae. It'd be good for churches and for people today to get a burden that they feel like they have a responsibility towards those that are without, and even those that are in the church have a responsibility. And Paul had He felt a great responsibility to these Christians here. All right. God has a calling for each of us. This is the spiritual application we can get out of this part here as we finish up. God has a calling for us. Now, Paul knew what his calling was. It was an apostle. It was to magnify Christ. It was to teach these Christians here about the gospel, teach them against the heresy and things that were coming in. And we have a responsibility ourselves to our friends. To our family. Here's another long word to acquaintances. I've heard preaching before, and I've maybe even done it myself. Talking about the great responsibility we have as we come across people every day. And at the end of the day, sometimes I'll get busy and I'll be gone. At the end of the day, I'll sit and think sometimes, how many people did I walk past that I didn't hand a tract to? I mean, we walk past people every day. At the store, wherever we go. The guy down at the Mexican restaurant, I ate the one in Warrior on Monday, and he was there, invited them to church. Well, he was over here today when we went to go eat, and invited them again. Every time I see him, I invite him to church, and he always tells me he's coming. I don't know if he understands a word I say, but he tells me he's coming. And I told him we're having finger food Sunday night, so he wanted to know if I was bringing, tamales. He's like, you're going to have tamales? I said, no, you bring them. He goes, okay. So I don't know if he's coming or not. But everybody we come across, we have a responsibility as a Christian toward those people. You say, well, they don't want nothing to do with church or God. Well, that's between them and God, but we still have a responsibility to give them Christ. And whether that's through a gospel track or a testimony or sharing, and especially our friends and family. Man, wouldn't it be sad to have a close family member or a close friend die and go to hell? And you were their friend or their family member, and we have a great responsibility towards these that are without. And Paul had that responsibility toward that church. All right. Just in conclusion here, Paul was faithful to God's calling. Faithful to God's calling. We find out when he finishes up his book to the second letter to Timothy that he fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. And that's something that would be nice for us to be able to say those things. He was faithful to his calling. Paul labored with others to accomplish God's calling. We are not in this thing alone. We shouldn't be. We should never try to do it on our own. If God's allowed somebody to do something that he didn't allow you to do, you need to thank God that God let them do it. And find out what it is that you need to do. We've all got a place. And our place is not to be involved in everything. It's to be involved in what God wants us involved in. And God gives people talents and gifts for certain things, and he opens the door. And when somebody gets a door open, you know what we say? Praise the Lord, they get to do that. Now, what can I do to be faithful? So Paul labored with others to accomplish God's will. And last of all, Paul lifted up the name of Jesus and his ministry and his calling. That's what he did, and that's what we ought to do. We ought to magnify Christ. So the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul's calling is what we've been looking at the last couple weeks. He knew who he was. He knew who he was in Christ, and he knew exactly what God wanted him to do. And if there's anybody here tonight, I know we got a small group here, or maybe listening to it later on, but if we don't know what it is exactly we're supposed to be doing, just ask God. And then keep doing what you know to do is right until he shows you. But it's good to know. Say, this is what God wants me to do. And it may be to be faithful to this church. It may be to pray for me or pray for this church. And you know what? If that's what it is, then do it the best you can and give God the glory. Amen. And I mentioned before, it's a great opportunity to give out tracts. They made up a bunch of those bags that have the candy canes in them and tracts. They made up a bunch of them tonight. We need to get handfuls of those, and we need to give them out this Christmas season. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank the Lord for this book. Preacher Bonds, would you pray for us?